look back at your slides. So the only Savior is Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53 is the greatest introduction to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now look up. Why would I say that it's the greatest introduction to him? Well, proof that God is the author of Scripture, and all the way through Isaiah, I've over and over shared archaeological proof and the historic proof and you know, just all these amazing scientific proof and everything we went through, the reasons we know this book is true. But one of the clearest demonstrations that God inspired this book is what we see in Isaiah 53. What we see in the detail. Let me share that. Proof that God is the author of Scriptures and Jesus is the fulfillment is found in Isaiah 53. Where? The minute, essential details. You see, Isaiah 53, much like Psalm 22, was written like you're standing at the foot of the cross and noting the details. And that you're kind of like a drone going around and getting kind of this big picture view that no one else had. That's what Isaiah 53 is about. What we see, Isaiah 53 has details that are exactly fulfilled in Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercessory ministry right now, his coronation, and the salvation he provides. That's all in Isaiah 53. All of it. And that's what we're looking at. In fact, Jesus himself and the apostles of the New Testament and even the writers that weren't apostles in the New Testament proclaim the gospel as they pointed back to Isaiah 53. Now, here's just the summary. There are references to Isaiah 53 in 15. That's more than half of the 27 books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 1 John. All of them use Isaiah 53 to explain the gospel. So Jesus, the apostles, and the New Testament writers all went back to this source. Now, I would say that Isaiah 53 is the Romans. It's kind of like the book of Romans in the Old Testament. Now, you know, Romans is the greatest New Testament treatment of how a sinner can be made right with God, how a sinner escapes eternal hell, and how a sinner gets to heaven. The greatest treatment, Romans. Well, Isaiah 53 is the greatest Old Testament revelation of the same question. Okay, back to your slides. Isaiah 53, the greatest introduction to Jesus Christ the Savior. Now, the ultimate question. What is the ultimate question? What's the question everybody should be asking? What should everybody you work with, everybody you live with, what should your children, what should your parents, what should your husband or wife, what should those friends you have in life, your coworkers, your teammates, what should everybody in the world be asking? I mean, we all know we're in COVID-19 season. We know that there is a deadly, invisible to us virus that can attack our most vital life-sustaining systems and can render them either seriously disabled or end our lives. And so instantly when people knew about that, everyone has gotten all caught up with, you know, our hand washing and the right N95 mask and how we can avoid and stay distant and everything because we want to preserve our life. Well, if you want to preserve your soul, what's the ultimate question? The question is, how can a sinner be right with God? How can a sinner escape hell and enter heaven? That's the most important question. How can a sinner be right with God? Wow, that's the question. How can a holy God declare me righteous? See, that's what people should be asking, not, can I outweigh my bad with my good? God says any infection with the deadly SIN virus. You know, we have COVID-19 virus, and everybody knows all about it. I've seen endless pictures of that. Looks like a mine with little bumps, and it's red, of that virus. There's an SIN virus. Are you thinking about that? It's far more lethal and deadly because it has eternal consequences. So God answers that question for the world. God sent Isaiah 53 to answer that ultimate question. So look back at your slides. The ultimate question is, how do we get right with God? So let's go to Isaiah 53 in your Bible, and I'm going to display. I told my wonderful wife, Bonnie, that's running the studio here for this class. I said, I ran downstairs and took a picture of my current Bible. Some of the pictures I had were of my former Bible. But look, this is actually Isaiah 53, 1 through 6, starting here. But see, this is what I wanted to get, this section. Starting in chapter 52, verse 13. And look what it says, behold my servant. Now this is God talking. See what I wrote there in the margin? Isaiah 52, 13 is God introducing chapter 53. And God says that Jesus is my servant. The Hebrew word is ebed, and it's always used for slaves in the Old Testament. So Jesus is God's slave, that he fully did God's will. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at his visage, it was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, what's interesting is, right here in verse 13, this very high, I noted in my margin here, only God, as Isaiah 6 says, is the same, it's the same word. I saw him high and lifted up. Jesus, in verse 13, is very high. He's high and lifted up like Isaiah 6. But look what happens to him. He is more disfigured than any human. And the reason he was disfigured is verse 15, so he could sprinkle many nations. Now look up for a second. I love that part. Verse 15 is how I got saved. Verse 15, unless you are an actual ethnic descendant of Abraham and are Jewish, then verse 15 is how you got saved. Because Jesus says the gospel is going global. I am going to let others beyond those who are of the chosen people of promise, Israel, I'm going to let them also benefit from the work of salvation. And so, back at the text, he will sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had heard, they will consider. Now, Isaiah 53 starts, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He will grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's speaking of the lowliness of Jesus. And then this talks about how Jesus was treated in verse 3. These details are amazing. He is despised. He is rejected by men. He is a man of sorrows. And I love this. He's acquainted with grief. He understands our sorrows. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Speaking of the way that most of us don't seek him. We want our own way. But look, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. And this is, of course, primarily speaking to the Jewish people and secondarily speaking to all of us. But here's the essence. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. See what I wrote right here? It's the clearest substitutionary atonement statement right there. And I also noted 2 Corinthians 5:21 because that's the distillation of this entire chapter into one verse. We'll get to that. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now pause for just a second. Let's look at that. The chastisement for our what? What does it say? Look back in your Bible in verse 5. Chastisement for, say it out loud, peace. Okay? Now, all of you know this Hebrew word, okay? Peace, right? How did the Jewish people say it? Yep, shalom. Actually, biblical Hebrew doesn't have vowels in it. It's primarily written down with just consonants. And then later, the Masoretic text added all the different vowel punctuation, or actually the vowel pointings, they call them. So this shalom is the letter shin and lamed and then mem. So it's sh-m-m. And the verb shalom, peace is a noun, but the verb shalom is literally means to be made complete. Whoa. Peace, shalom, means only God can make us complete. We're all missing something. We're all experiencing this lacking. Now, take your Bible and turn back. Just turn back to Isaiah 48. Because Isaiah 48 begins this explanation of how much we need a Savior by saying this in verse 22. So the last verse of Isaiah 48. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no what? Now look at this. There's no peace. There's no shalom. They will never be made complete. They are restless. They're endlessly searching for something else. I just would like to say that one of the great blessings I have is hearing from people like some of you that are watching this class. Now remember that primarily I'm teaching this to East Asia, to a classroom, and they're sitting in there taking notes and quizzes and tests and doing their projects. But many of you are tuning in and watching this. And I hear from people who say, I was listening, just heard last night from a young person. They said, grew up in a Catholic church, gave up on the Catholic church, kind of lived, sowed my wild oats, which is a way of saying lived in sin. But they said, I just bought a Bible. I've been watching these videos. I've been tracking with you. And I want you to know that I have now come to the place that I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's why we put these classes up. As you're watching there, if you have not, if you realize that you're looking and looking and you're not at peace, you are restless, you know something's missing, you're always, you know, money may not buy happiness, but it buys a lot of places to look for it. So you're making as much money as you can, and you're using it to try and have these fun times, but they always go away. Then you've come to the right place, because the Bible says Jesus offers endless life and joy and peace that never goes away. Back to the text. Let's go to Isaiah 53 on the screen. The chastisement for our shalom, our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. We all have the SIN virus. Only he can heal it. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That is depravity. You know, most people wonder what sin is. Sin is, I want my own way. And that's what all of us are like. You don't have to convince anybody of that. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all.